following program is pre-recorded. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, we have been talking about bullying. This is National Bullying Awareness Month, and as we said a couple of days ago, I thought as a child that this bullying stuff would be over with and that we wouldn't have to think about it anymore as adults. Unfortunately, that's not true. It might go by other names, but it's still really bullying. And we have wished that we could just leave all that stuff in the past, but that we have even a team member here at Hope for the Heart who you mentioned that who is in some way still dealing with the effects of bullying in their life.
Well, what happened was one of our wonderful team members, I found out her daughter had been bullied because of how she was born. There are a number of things. Hydrocephalus, which is water on the brain, cranial midline anomaly affecting her brain, her optic nerve, pituitary gland. Her name is Lindsay, and she has allowed me to use her name. We put it in our keys on bullying. She endured 4 life or death brain surgeries. And there is a physical challenge on her face, on the left side of her face, that causes a slight drooping because she's missing facial and eye muscles. But you know what's so interesting? Lindsay has a positive attitude about life, and it's really been amazing. And I share that because some people think, well, you know, if you have an abnormality of whatever kind, you don't matter, you know. But I will say there's more likelihood that people with a physical disability, that they're more likely to be bullied. But 1 week after Lindsay's birth, the neurologist warned her parents that she may never walk or talk. An early diagnosis of hydrocephalus at 9 months only added to the physical and mental challenges. But by the grace of God and the support of her parents, her own personal perseverance, she just courageously continues to overcome these challenges. And I say overcome, she's not distraught. She doesn't live overwhelmed. And she has a mom who really taught her to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm-hmm. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, there was a time when Lindsay's self-worth spiraled down. The assaults that came in from both boys and girls, students in different ways, from different directions, especially in middle school. You hear a boy throws a rock at her in PE class. Another boy bashes her head with a book from behind while she's at her locker. Girls gawk at her rudely, you know, even like in the mall or at a grocery store or even while they're on vacations. The emotional stress prompts her mother to find a code phrase for them both to use when Lindsay is overwhelmed by the stares and jeers of others. This clever code comes from a favorite children's character called Curious George, a monkey. Her mother tenderly explains to Lindsay, George is curious about everything, just like the people who stare at you. So when Lindsay says, "Mom, I've got some monkey business happening over here," that means she feels troubled and needs prayer, and perhaps even a change of environment. They learn to, what do we do in this situation? The progression of bullying in Lindsay's life reached a painful climax during her senior year of high school, and the abuse took on a more subtle form, but nonetheless heart-rending, and it brought heaviness to her spirit. Lindsay becomes a victim of the silent treatment. Man, that's tough. It is so hard. She's ignored, socially isolated, sending the message she just simply doesn't matter. But the most popular girl in her senior class of less than 30 students continually maneuvers her head and body around Lindsay to engage others, as if Lindsay doesn't even exist. In the end, this coldness proves to be just as cruel as the inflammatory words, violating this call of Scripture. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. Lindsay truly came to know the love of God, which enabled her to be an overcomer.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. We just say thank you for that. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. And they're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd be happy to help guide you to God's hope through our resources. And we do have the Keys for Living called Bullying, Bullied No More. As June was talking about, this being Bullying Awareness Month. And you might want to get that resource there. You can contact customer support at 800-488-4673. If there's something going on in your life and you'd like to speak with June about that situation that's happening, and and to do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, just give us a call at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. And also, let me add for you that if you have been on the program before and spoken with June on Hope in the Night, we'd like to hear kind of the rest of the story. If you were helped by that, if you were particularly blessed by being on the program, talking with June and getting practical hope, biblical help applied to your situation, we'd like to hear from you again. So give us a call. Again, that's 800-NIGHT-17, and we will get back to you to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night broadcast. Again, that's 800-644-4817. Well, let's get to tonight's caller, and we have a caller here in Texas and listening to us on podcast. Tonight, we have Phyllis.
Well, hello, Phyllis. Welcome to Hope.
Thank you. Hi, June, and I'm sorry about your friend.
Oh, thank you.
And how are you doing about that?
You're very, very tender. Thank you. That's, I miss my friend, but you know she's with the Lord, and she's over the huge Alzheimer's that she had that was severe.
Wow.
So thank you for your thoughtful words.
You're welcome. Oh, well, I lost John last week. He was very sick with diabetes, and he had to get toes amputated and his all of his foot except for the heel bone. And then he was in and out of the hospital, nursing home health care.
Yes.
And we're both visually impaired. I have a little bit of sight, and he was totally blind, but he was an amazing man. He could play instruments. He could cook. He taught me how to cook.
Oh.
And then we have a CNI dog. Well, he was in training for her, and her name is Riley. But I have to send her back to where she was because I can't take care of her.
Mm. So did you tell me you just lost your husband? Is that what you're saying? And it was how long ago?
He died last Friday morning. Mm. But I got to see him a lot of times at the hospital. I got to see him Thursday night. I didn't want to go Thursday morning because his sister and brother-in-law were here, and they hadn't seen him in a long time. Mm-hmm. So I decided that it was time for them to visit with him for that time. But they took me out to dinner, and then they took me to the hospital because I surely can't drive.
I'm so, so sorry.
On top of that, my mom's sick in the hospital. They say she's getting out hopefully probably Monday. She just turned 80 September the 15th. But anyway, like I said, John and I, we were pretty much inseparable. We would finish each other's sentences, and he was very humorous, very funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of people remember about him. But he was doing so good, you know, for a while, and it seemed like he was going to get better. And
yes.
I know my faith is not shaken, and I know he's in a better place, but it's still hard.
Of course it's hard. This kind of change, you know, anything that was a normal, especially with how you've described him and the bond that you had, you said you were inseparable.
Right, and we just moved to Texas in May.
Oh.
We were in Delaware. Well, first Philadelphia, me, and I think he came from Philadelphia, and then he moved to Delaware. So I met him over this phone system, and then I moved to Delaware. Then we moved into another place in Delaware. And I know Riley since she was like 16 months old. She's now 6 years old. So I know I'm going to miss her, but I know I'm doing the right thing.
About your dog.
I would be very selfish if I didn't do this.
Okay, well, help me understand. I know that the greatest loss has to be your husband.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, first of all, tell me about him. What did you love the most about him?
Well, I loved his personality. I loved his multi-talented resources. Even though he couldn't see, a lot of people, you know, were calling him to fix stereos and different things, people that I know personally. And He was just there for anybody and everybody, no matter what. Even if he felt a little sick, or even if he had something he knew he needed to do, he would just go. And I said, John, you just need to make time for yourself. And he would put me first too. And I was like, sometimes you can't stretch yourself out so thin. You got to think of yourself too. He said, I'm just worried about you, Roddy, and whoever else. You know, I'm like that, Phyllis. I help out a lot of people. You know, that's what I do. So
what you're saying is he was a giver, not a taker.
Yeah.
He was
right.
A giver, not a taker. And he knew how to care for others.
Right. And we joined the Methodist Church. Well, he was there for a long time, and I joined like a few years later, and I really loved the church. Now the pastor's retired, but I'm back in touch with him. Anyway, we had a disabilities day where I did, he showed me how to read this psalm. It was Isaiah psalm, but I can't remember which one. Anyway, he liked it, and so I was reading it, and he said, no, Phyllis, you have to read it like with an upbeat attitude, not like you're going to put somebody to sleep. I was like, okay, all right. And then one time I grew up washing dishes by hand. So we moved to this place that had a dishwasher. He's like, when are you going to use a dishwasher? I said, never. And he's like, let me show you how to do this. I said, yeah, because I don't know how to do it. So he showed me how to load up the dishwasher, and I was getting stubborn. He's like, so now you can use the dishwasher. I said, yeah, well, if I don't like it, I'm going back to washing dishes by hand.
Well, listen, I grew up that way. We didn't have a dishwasher, and then later there was one. But you know, and you don't need to have.
Texas, which I don't mind.
Yeah. Now, let me understand. I think you were saying he was totally blind. You have, though, are you sight impaired?
Yes, I have a little bit of sight. I can see colors. I can't really read print unless it's large, but it sounds like I'm reading for the first time. So I'm glad I went to a blind school and I was able to learn how to read Braille when I was little, and so is he. Now, he graduated in 72 from the same school, and I graduated in 82 from the same school.
Ah.
And then my mom and him and my brothers, they at first didn't get along that good, but then my mom and him, he got to love my mom, and she got to love him. In fact, one time she says, John, where are my present? I said, Mom. She said, well, he usually gives me a present. And he was laughing. And he sang happy birthday to my mom one year, and she was crying. But he had a beautiful voice. And I didn't get to hear him sing anymore. You know, like, I wanted to hear him sing. I said, I miss your singing voice. I miss your cooking. So I decided that while I was in the hospital, I used to tell him, I can't sing that good, but you know what? Tonight I'm going to do it. So I did it, like, Wednesday night, and I sang a couple of Christian songs and this one song I really liked and that he knew I really liked. And he would just get me things that, you know, I like peanut butter and chocolate, and he would get me candy because I'm a junk foodaholic. I still am. And he would get me a lot. He was just very generous. And sometimes I'd say, Jack or John, why are you doing this? He said, it's a just because of the present. And I was like, oh, thank you, you know.
Wow. Well, so it is understandable. You will always have such fabulous memories of his giving personality, his care even for you. That's very tender, very, very tender.
I just felt like I couldn't do enough for him. I tried, but I couldn't lift him or anything because he's in a wheelchair after a while. And I know I'm bigger than him, and he's smaller than me. But I was like, I can't lift. And sometimes when I would try, I would kind of actually hurt him. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was like, you know what, let me just not help in this way. Let me try to do something else.
How long were you married?
I'm sorry?
How long were you married?
9 years come January.
9 years.
Yeah.
What precious years.
Yep, absolutely.
And you are how young?
I'll be 59 January 9th.
59. Okay, so 58 right now.
He said, I'm going to Bobby for my birthday. And I said, no, you're not. You're going to be here. And I said, stop telling me that. But then, you know what? I guess he knew somehow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so as you think right now about the gift he gave you, basically it's a gift from God, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What did you learn from him?
From God or God?
Well, yeah, sorry. From your husband who is with the Lord now.
I learned it. You know, it's all right to, well, because I cry sometimes a lot. He says that's a good point about you. You're very sensitive, and that's a good thing. And I learned to be more free. Like, I kind of had lots of fears and doubts about different things growing up, and I told him some of my stuff, and he helped me to realize that, you know, it's all right to do what you want to do, but within reason, you know. You know, you're grown. You don't have to answer to anybody except for Jesus, you know, he would tell me. And I'm like, yeah. And he just made me feel safe, because I used to be kind of afraid of a lot of things. In fact, the one other story that I have is when I first moved to Delaware, and he said, you know, you can sit outside, Phyllis. I said, outside? And so he said, yeah, you don't have to be afraid to sit outside. Like, I lived in South Philadelphia, so I was kind of afraid sometimes to go outside, so I would have to be in the mood. So so he would tell that story to everybody. I said, why you got to tell that story every time? He's like, because I thought it was kind of funny the way you said, outside? Like, really?
So you said you've learned to be more free. You learned that you could feel safe, because earlier you didn't feel that way.
Right, exactly.
Well, what else did you learn from him? We're going to have to go to a break, but you know, there are so many people, all they have is regret in a different way. There's bitterness. They're caught up in bitterness and unforgiveness, anger. And, you know, there's no perfect relationship, but what I'm hearing from you is God gave this man to you, and you are telling me the things that are so valuable. Most people don't say those things you just said. I learned to be more free. I learned I could feel safe. So when we come back, are there other things that you want to mention?
In these unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late-night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late-night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of grief, we do have Keys for Living that will help you to sort through some of those issues and think how you may approach those biblically and practically. And you can call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help you access the appropriate resources. Again, we have the Keys for Living called Grief, Living at Peace with Loss. And the number for customer support, again, 800-488-4673. If you'd prefer to email, you may do so at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Ask any questions you have regarding topics and resources in tonight's program. And you can order directly from them through that email as well. It's customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Let's return to our conversation now with Phyllis.
Well, my friend, you have really been articulate and you've been specific when I said, you know, what have you learned from your husband? And you said, to be more free, that I could feel safe. And what I'm also that he was a gift to you from God.
Yes. Yes. I know one thing, I got mad one day, not at him, but I was so mad at I was like, man, I'm not going to the hospital today. And my friend said, you need to go because you never know. And you know what? If I wouldn't have gone, I know I would have regretted it for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. So is there anything else you want to mention that you learned from him?
Just live life like it's your last, you know, to the fullest, and that's what he did.
Well, I had a thought. Have you been concerned that at times you could feel overwhelmed with sorrow?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. My thought is, you know, I'm going to say Jesus is called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was very familiar with grief. Grief is a natural part of life, and I don't know that there's any way to live life without times of grief. In fact, the Bible is very clear that, in this world you will have trouble. But then it goes on to, this is Jesus speaking, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So yes, there is trouble. And the Bible says there's a time to grieve. There's a time to mourn. But the implication is it is for a period of time. It won't last forever. That doesn't mean that the person you lose on this earth here, that you just could care less later. It's that the weight gets easier as we allow him to be our burden bearer, when we allow the Lord to be our burden bearer. And there's a particular scripture I never will forget. And I'm going to mention this to you. You mentioned the book of Isaiah.
Right.
Well, in Isaiah, there's a very important passage. And I will tell you that many people don't know this at all. It's Isaiah 54. And it means chapter 54. And the reason I'm going to mention this to you is because this will apply to you. It's Isaiah 54, verse 5. Your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. Your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. I never will forget my mother's best friend. She had just lost her husband named John. And I went to the hospital, and he had died only like an hour before.
Wow.
And I said, Sarah, how are you? I'm so, so sorry. And she said, I have found a precious relationship that I know I'm going to enter in that's going to grow deeper and deeper and deeper. And then she mentioned this scripture. She said, for my maker is my husband. Now that John is not here, he will become a husband to me. And then you think, in what way? He's the provider, the protector. That's the heart of what this scripture is saying. When you don't have the earthly husband, God knows that. This has not caught him by surprise. And he knows exactly where you are. And I think if you want to consider this, you could say, okay, when I'm hurt, when I'm hurting, when I'm filled with grief, I will, that's real. And I accept that as real. But I will also thank God that he is not just my maker, but since I'm a widow, he is my husband. The Lord is my maker and my husband. And you turn it into a Thanksgiving list. I'm making it a list.
I like that.
So it's like, Lord, when I'm hurting, I just thank you that you are my maker and you are my husband. You are my Lord Almighty. That is your name. And I just was thinking, what you've told me is the continued list. The continued list is, I thank you that you gave me a husband who taught me how to be more free, not to be confined.
Yes.
He taught me I could be actually feel safe when I didn't grow up feeling that way. That he was a gift to me from God. He taught me to live life. It's like, oh, I'm hearing, it's like live life to the fullest.
Yes.
And to say thank you, Lord, for that. That significant gift for those 9 years we were married, what I've learned from him, and you know what I've very candidly learned, and Phyllis, I'm interested in your opinion about this. There are times when we learn things that we are actually to turn around and share with others.
Yep,
I think you just told me, didn't you, at the beginning of our conversation, that there is a friend, somebody who also just lost her husband. Didn't you say that?
Yes.
What do you think about saying to her, tell me, what did you learn from your husband?
Yes.
But then also share with her this scripture, Isaiah 54, verse 5. Your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name.
Okay.
What do you think about sharing that with her?
I'd love to do that. That would probably help her, yes.
Well, it helps, you know, it helps where our focus of attention is. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is the one who said, the truth sets you free?
Yes.
And you and I know there are people who are so not free, they are in
right.
bondage to the pain
yes.
of the past.
Yes.
And back there, almost imprisoned in the pain of the past. And they, I'm gonna mention someone in particular. Do you know the name Dr. James Dobson?
I know him. I used to listen to his program.
Yeah. Phenomenal, wasn't he? Or isn't he?
Yes.
Well, I never will forget, he told about his parents. His parents, he adored his father. He loved his mother. He said, but when my father died, it's like my mother quit living. It's like she just shut down. And I never forget the vulnerability. And it hurt him. It grieved him that it's like her whole identity was in her husband, Jim Dobson's father. But that's not the way God wants us to live. And no. So you could be a part of helping others. And that means that, in fact, I'm going to send you, now I know you're sight impaired.
Yes.
I know you're legally blind.
Yes.
But I think I've got something that will, or do you listen to CDs?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Let me see if I have our material on grief. But no matter what, you'll get a CD of this, or you'll get something of this program. But I'm very proud of you, because I'm not hearing that you have given up on life, though you've lost your husband.
No. I just want to say one thing, though. Since this has happened, I can't get, like, I text, my phone talks, so I text a lot of my friends, and I forget words. I feel like I'm scatterbrained because I don't remember what I'm writing and forget, and I repeat myself a lot, and I'm trying to get that in focus again to get back to normal somehow.
Well, okay, you've used a word. I'm good. Now, I personally think that normal is only found on a dryer, on a clothes dryer. There's a setting called normal.
Yeah, you're right.
Now,
I didn't know what other words are you. Exactly.
Okay. The reason I'm saying I want to pick up on this, there are people who will say, and they mean well, they say, oh, things will get back to normal.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
That's not true. In other words, your normal that you've had was a precious gift from God. Now, God has many further gifts to give you. And the reason I'm saying that is I want you to realize that things will not get back to that normal, but now you're going to have a new normal, but it takes a while for that to be developed. It doesn't just come in a few days or a few weeks. And so when we come back, let's talk about that. Because I care about you. And I'm going to ask our praying friends to pray for you.
Thank you.
As you've been only a widow with your husband, now being with the Lord 1 week. And our compassion is strong for you, my friend.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you were listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we want to thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry. Thank you so much. If you have questions about the topic of grief or really any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address your situation. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help you access the resources you need. Our keys for living on grief called Living at Peace with Loss, and that's available as you get in touch with us. Again, the number is 800-488-4673. Also, check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store. You can find the new updated Keys for Living, our Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources. Books, music, CDs are there. You'll find it all at hopefortheheart.org/store. Also, a reminder to look into our Facebook page. It is called Hope in the Night, the page specifically for this program, and we'd like for you to like that page and then let your friends know about it as well. We thank you. Let's return to our conversation now with Phyllis.
Well, sweet Phyllis, there is, in our counseling keys, we have definitions and characteristics, causes and solutions. There is a key verse. Actually, there are two of them back to back. There are key verses to memorize. And this is important. And I want you to listen to it. Because God in the Bible is called the God of all comfort. Notice, all comfort. And you need comfort. And He can comfort you through His Word, the Bible, through others, through precious memories, through a warm walk on a sunny day. He, most of all, comforts you with His presence. His presence. It's an immense encouragement to know that God not only understands your grief, but He is with you in your grief, in the midst of your grief. And He enters into your pain and carries you through the grieving of each day. Over time, as you receive comfort from God, He is going to use you to comfort others. This is a scripture I want you to take to your heart. It's 2 Corinthians. It's the very first chapter of 2 Corinthians, verses 3 and 4. It says, "The Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, comforts us in all of our troubles, so that," and here's the "so that," "we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." In other words, as God comforts you, you are going to learn more and more and more how to comfort others in the midst of their grief. Isn't that precious?
Yes, it is.
And you will see this again and again. And so I say that because your grief is not wasted. And you say, well, this is not what I want. And, you know, candidly, I don't want that for you. People have all kinds of trials, and I'm thinking, oh, I wish I could take that away. And yet, if I'm very candid, I've learned more through my trials than I have through my successes. I've learned far more through the pain than I've learned through pleasure. And so this deep loss, it's a severe loss, but it's not for nothing. It's not wasted. And this is where God is going to use you. And I'm going to be very candid. There are people who will say, oh, I'm so sorry. And it's like patting somebody on the head.
Right.
It's like patting a little boy on the head saying, oh, I'm sorry you're hurt. And that's sympathy. Now, there's nothing wrong with sympathy.
Right.
But it's very different with what you have just gone through. Because now you have empathy.
Right.
You can feel with your friend. You can feel her loss, can't you?
Yes, absolutely.
And so there are three words. There's sympathy, empathy, and then there's compassion.
Yes.
It's good to feel the loss of others, but compassion says, I'll hurt with you, and I'll be there for you. I'll stick around until the hurt is gone. That's why compassion is so significant. And he, our God, he's the Father of all compassion. He's the God of all comfort. He's the Father of compassion. So realize, not only will he hurt with you, but he will be there for you until the hurt is gone.
You're right, because, you know, I just want to tell you real quick. My grandmother died when I was 20, in 1983, yeah. And we were very close. It was my mother's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I would ever get over that. And then my friend Stacy, she died in 2005. That was one of my best friends from school. We graduated together. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I would get over that. But... Mm-hmm. You're right, and I don't feel alone at all, because a lot of people say, are you alone? Do you feel alone? I said, no, I'm never alone, because God's here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's true. And, you know, what's precious, he says, and I'll share with you my most favorite scripture, because
okay.
I needed this. It's nobody else's favorite scripture, so I've never met anybody who says, oh, that's my favorite,
right.
But this is mine. It's Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So I'm sharing that with you on a personal basis from me to you.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 31:8. And you know, I'll tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to be able to personalize that. Now, how do you tell me, okay, help me visualize, what will you do? Because I know you're legally blind. Can
yes.
can you actually read those words? In
not in print, but I could read it if I had it in Braille or listen to it on tape. When I can, when I do my texts on the phone, I type them in. I don't know how to speak it in with this phone. I got a flip phone. I tried a smartphone, but it was smarter than me. I couldn't get it.
So if I if I share that scripture with you, is there somebody who could help you print that?
Sure.
I'll say print it out in Braille. What's the language? Is it? It's not type it out in Braille, or I know that there is typing. How does that work?
For Braille. Well, I got to look for it. My latest style is to write it out in Braille, or I can put it on my my MP3 player. I got an MP3 player.
Oh, yes.
Too.
Okay. Thank you for. I am ignorant.
No.
But see, you're so much wiser. You have wisdom that I don't have in that area. And oh, how you can help others who are sight impaired. And yet,
right.
And so, but like, and many, and you know, many don't know Braille.
Right.
But
exactly.
You do. And so,
yes.
However you want to do it, but this verse, even though it says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn it around and for you to say, you personalize it. The Lord himself goes before me and will be with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I will not be afraid. I will not be discouraged.
Will not be discouraged. Yeah, I could do that.
You know, I'm going to say this. There is a woman who called me one day. Her husband had just died. He was on a treadmill. She said he stepped right into the presence of the Lord. And she said, she said, June, I am afraid. And so I went over to her house. His name was Bill, and she described. She said, I know when he was on that treadmill, he stepped into the presence of the Lord. She said, but I've always been afraid that this day may come. And so I gave her that scripture. She opened her Bible, and when I came back the next time, there it was, and she kept telling everybody about that scripture. And she said, I've taken it into my heart, and it's changed me inside out because I am not alone. The Lord himself goes before me and will be with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I will not be afraid. I will not be discouraged. And I just loved it. Every time I would talk with her on the phone or come by, and I spoke at the funeral, and, you know, and here was all this family, and she was telling her two children, and it was her children, and there were grandchildren, and she would say, I'm not alone. The Lord himself goes before me and will be with me, because they were concerned about her. And it was just precious. The point is, we are to personalize the very word of God. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. It does.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do that. It's a great thing to do. And also, I like your music. I've heard you sing.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Since you like music, I'm going to send you. There is a CD that I happen to love because it says, it's called The Whisper of My Heart. And it was the first CD I did, but there's a song in there. Would you cherish loving arms if you'd never shed a tear? Would you welcome going home if you'd never been away? Would you cherish gentle words if you'd never been afraid? I don't think so. I don't think so. And so this song is just dear to me. And so I will send this to you because I intentionally did a number of the songs dealing with grief, things of the heart that are hard. And I pray it'll be a comfort to you. So this will be a gift to you from our ministry, our material on grief, as well as The Whisper of My Heart. You continue to hang on to God's hope, because He does care for you and He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
We will send the CD, Whisper of My Heart, also Keys for Living Cold Grief, Living at Peace with Loss. We'll send those out to tonight's caller free of charge. We can do that because of your generous support of this ministry. If you would like to give to keep Hope in the Night on the air, you can do so at hopefortheheart.org and look for the donate button there. We thank you. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and recent programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, we have a Facebook page. It is called Hope in the Night. Go there, like the page, and share that with your friends as well. Thank you. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.